don't know me, my name is Ashley Eggersley, and I'm the Spiritual Formations Pastor here at Redeem. And we've been in the middle of a series called Why. We are looking at all the different reasons that we do what we do as followers of Christ. We've looked at why we study and read Scripture. We've looked at why we can trust Scripture. And today, we're going to be looking at why we gather. Why do we come together as believers in Christ together on Sunday mornings, or during the week, small groups and worship services, prayer groups? Why do we do this? And what does it mean for us to do this together and walk this journey together? So we're going to be looking at a bunch of different scriptures today and digging into what it means for us together. The first scripture we're going to start with is Genesis 1:26, which says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness.' So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, man and woman." And actually, before we dig into this, we would join you. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come together, to worship you together, to grow together in community. We thank you that you invite us into relationship with you and one another, and for the freedom that we have to be together freely and publicly. And we just ask that you bless our time today. Please be with me as I speak. Help me to recall what it is that you want me to recall and forget all the things that you don't want me to say today. So looking at this first scripture, the reason that I chose this, or the reason that we're looking at this one, is because we need to know who we are. We need to know why we are. And first and foremost, we are created in the image of God. We carry the image of God. And that influences everything that we do and everything that we are. And one of the things that there is so much we can unpack there in the fact that we are created in the image of God, but what for the purposes of today and why we gather, I want to look at the fact that God is triune. He is the Trinity, and there is community within the Godhead. That God is a God of community. God is a God of relationship, and there is relationship there. And because we are made in His image, we are made for community, and we are made for relationship. We respect that image of God when we gather together, and when we come together and build relationships with each other. And so, what we need to work on is focus on is what does it mean to reflect God's image in that community, and how can we rightly reflect God's image as we gather in community? We're going to be speaking into that in the future. Another reason why we gather is found in Genesis 2:18, which says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him.'" And this passage is often used to explain marriage, but it goes beyond that as well. That God saw that humanity was alone. He saw that man was alone, and he recognized that it was not good for us to be alone. And yes, that is encouraged in a marriage relationship, but we are created for community. God knew that we needed one another, that we need to walk alongside one another. And when you look at the word helper, and we've talked about it before, rest was supposed to reflect God in community. But how do we do that? What does this look like? Connections of friendships and families and relationships, and maybe some community groups that come together and support one another in different things. But we also see this come along in unhealthy ways. We see it in gang membership. We see it in maybe some unhealthy expressions of different groups and relationships that aren't healthy, but it all stems from this idea that have this innate desire to belong, to be connected in community, which is actually what we're going to do. And when we are alone and we're not connected, it has a harmful effect on us, not just emotionally, but physically too. We see it when babies in the orphanages don't get enough time with people. They may be getting everything they need, they're getting fed, they're getting cared for, but they don't get that time to just be they don't thrive. And we saw this 6 years ago during lockdown. We saw so many people in COVID who were deteriorating in health, both mentally, emotionally, and physically, because they weren't getting the connection that they needed. A study from the National Institute of Health said that severe loneliness that was severely impacting people's health tripled. More than tripled over the lockdown in 2020 because people could not connect. And so we see lots of different ways that we can connect, and there's lots of healthy ways to connect, there's lots of unhealthy ways to connect. But then there is also something about connecting in the body of Christ. So let's look at Hebrews 10. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true hearts and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as we see the day approaching. So whenever we see a scripture that starts with the word therefore, we always need to stop and ask ourselves, what is it there for? It is always referring to something before that passage. This is the conclusion, the reason. Because of everything I just said, this is what we need to do. And the author of Hebrews had just walked its readers through the sacrifice and the atonement of Christ and how he broke down the barrier so that we could enter into the presence of God. So it refers to the tearing of the veil in the Holy of Holies that happened. And because of Christ's sacrifice for us, because of what he has done in our lives, we now get to be in the presence of God. Before, it was only the high priest that could enter God's presence in the Holy of Holies, and that's no longer the case. And God wants us to enter his presence, to be together with him. And it says back here, because of this, because of what God has done, because of Christ's work us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we need to gather together so that we can encourage one another, walk alongside one another. Life is hard. It is very hard. And everything that we've been called to do, that God has called us to do, we cannot do on our own. And so we encourage one another and we provoke one another. We spur each other on to do the good works, to do what God has called us to do, and to love one another and love the community that we have been given. And then in Ephesians, it says, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive, he gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with the stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by humankind with cleverness and appearance of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body, or building itself up in love by the proper working. So Ephesians is kind of divided into two halves. The first half, chapters 1 through 3, really reminds us of who Christ is and what he has done in us and what our hope and promise is in him. And then 4 through 6 really work through leading us in how to understand how to walk out our faith. He actually uses the words to walk or to live out is really what it means to live it out together, to go and do as you are doing. And so the book of Ephesians also was a circulatory letter, meaning it was written to the church of Ephesus, but it was meant to be passed around and read to the entire church, to all the different churches. So somebody would go around and preach it to all the different churches. This book is an instruction for how we are supposed to live as the body of Christ, as a church, together. And so, as we look in this passage, and we look especially at where it says that the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. As we come together, as we gather, whether it's on Sunday mornings and we learn and grow and encourage one another here, but we can only do so much in Sunday, right? And so then during the week we are also gathering and studying and growing together. We are supposed to build the body up by supporting one another, by encouraging one another, teaching one another, and promoting that growth. So the body grows in Christ And Christ supports that growth, but we have to be active in that growth as well. So we come alongside each other. And this is why we gather, so that we can encourage one another, love one another, and grow together so that we can do what God has called us to do outside of our head. And in keeping with that body language and image, we look at 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable we clothe with the greatest honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with great respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But to desire the greater gifts, and understand the greater. Paul here is talking about reminding us that we all need one another. God did not give any one of us everything that we need to do life on our own. We are all individual members of the body, and we all need one another in order to thrive and survive and grow and do what it is that God has called us to do. No one person is the church. No one person can fulfill the Great Commission or the small by themselves. We as a community are able to fulfill what God has created us to do, which is to love Him with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength, and to love others as we love ourselves. And we can't do that alone. And if we try to just like He says here, we are not all one body part. The body part was all the same. One body part, it doesn't fulfill its function. The same is if same reasoning stands that if we are isolated from the body, we will die. If we cut off a piece of our body, it dies. It will wither. We need each other in order to grow, in order to survive, in order to thrive, and in order to fulfill the purpose that we need. We can't fulfill the purpose with one body part. We need the entire body to do that. And we can't fulfill our purpose on our own. And so we as a body come together to support one another, to encourage one another, to equip ourselves so that we can go and do what God has called us to do. And along with that, in Galatians 6:2, it says, carry one another's burdens, and this way you will keep the law of God. So we need community as well so that we can carry each other when we are not able to carry ourselves. There are times when we reach a situation that we cannot survive being on our own. We can't sometimes. Sometimes we don't know how to cry out to God, how to bring ourselves to God, and it is in those times that we as a community come alongside, hold one another, carry each other to Christ. Let's think of the story of Harold and the friends who carried him to Christ because he did not get to Christ by himself. This is what community is for. We need each other in so many different ways to carry each other's burdens, to equip ourselves, to learn from one another, to strengthen ourselves, to be reminded of who we are in God and who we are called to be, and to give ourselves the opportunity to live out what God has called us to. So one of the things I want to ask is, what is your why? We all have reasons for being here. We all have reasons for gathering. But what is your why? Why are you here? Where is your heart? Where is your motivation as you gather for Sunday mornings, or for youth group, or for small groups, or prayer meetings? Because it really comes down to this. With all of the things that we're talking about our why, what is our motivation behind it? If our heart behind it is, I do this because it's the right thing to do, because it's what expected of me, or because God told me to, our motivation, our heart is in the wrong place. If we are responding and gathering out of love for God because God has invited us into His presence and we get to be in His presence and worship Him and learn and grow in Him, our hearts need to be in the right place. If, on the other hand, we need to make sure that gathering and Sunday mornings or small groups aren't available for us. Is it becoming a checklist kind of thing we do because it looks good or we feel good, or is it, are we doing it out of love and a response to what God has done in us and for us, and because we are called to be here today? So, as we think about why we gather, whether it's sentence or in the extreme, first, it is in response to Christ's work in us. We respond just because it's a response to God. God loves us, and out of the love and that we have for God and what He has done for us, it is a way for us to respond to that. It is an act of worship to gather and respond to God's invitation and His presence to worship Him today. We gather because it's a community that reflects God's image and helps us to reflect God's image in us, both as a community and as individuals. We gather for the building up, the encouragement, the teaching, the edification that it provides, that it is going to shape us and mold us more into the image of God and who He has called us to be, and it is going to equip us for the calling that He has placed on our lives, individually and as a community. As we gather, as we study, we recognize that we have a calling, not just as redeemed community, but each of us individually. God has us where we are in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces for a reason. And with the gathering and the learning and growing and the sharpening that we do together helps to equip us for that calling, for that mission that God has placed on each of our lives, both individually and as a family. And we gather because we carry one another's burdens. There are times when we are going to face something that we can't face. is your why? What is your motivation? Why are you a part of the team? Why are you here today? Why do you gather the way you do? And what is God calling you to do? And how is God calling you to be part of the body of Christ? What is your role in the body of Christ? Like, how are you helping to support and lift one another up, encourage one another out of pressure, and equip one another for the calling of God? And perhaps maybe God is speaking to you about what your calling is. What is it that He has for you, either here at the moment or here or in the community? What is it that you need to be equipped for? To reflect on that, and then in a little while, after a little time,
it's our job to come up here and share with you some teachings, because that's what I'm going to do. Very specific. can't do their part without the weakness of those who are not. That they have a part in you, and you need to use to bring to the table. Someone that's just sitting down and meeting people where they are is kind of like carrying another person. We're designed to carry each other's burden, and as I say to them, it's almost singing a song and reflecting myself. I've drawn back to my mother from the garden where Jesus was. And even Jesus lost his mother. He's like in this really, really tough time in his life. He's like, you know, I need my community. He said, guys, while I go over here and pray, I just need you to be with me because we're being called to something really, really difficult. And I don't want to do this on my own. You don't do this on your own. That's why we get together. In a really kind way, like, you got a group of people who don't care about you. And they don't even bother to care about you. You don't even know me. Well, then let's rather do that. Okay? I'm confident that each Sunday, you guys go and do something somewhere, whether it's at your kitchen table or a restaurant. Like, you can gather people together. We don't have to combine our time together in this space. Think about that a few years ago. You're like, okay, who's my community? Who do I have? What do I need? Think about that. You haven't signed up for that.